What's going on, everybody? We got a full crew here, finally. It's been a very long time, I think over a month, since we've all been on this same recording. Gentlemen, whoever wants to go first, how are you doing?
It's good. It's good to be all three of us together, though I was enjoying the 40-minute shows with Jeff in and out, so I am anxiously awaiting this to run till midnight, and for those listening, it is currently 5:41 p.m.
We're off to a hot start. Oh,
man, he just came out with 98 down the pipe and Dave swung through it.
What are you talking about? He came in up and in high and made me get off the plate.
He straight challenged you. Oh, that was great.
I had to.
So that was Zach. Zach, welcome to the show. Glad you made it on time.
That's even debatable.
So, I guess I'll introduce myself. I'm Jeff. I'm just here. I'm in a crazy state mentally right now. I got a hell of a story to tell you guys that is COVID-related, youth sports-related. It involves the police and involves all kinds of stuff that happened to me this weekend in Philadelphia. So, you know, when in Philly, you know, the cops are involved in some way, shape, or form for anybody from Pittsburgh. So, I'm in a crazy state mentally, and I'm just going to try and power through this. As Zach put it, about seven hours and 20 minute show that we're going to have.
6 hours.
Well, no, I added the extra hour with the story. Zach didn't know about the story, but that's going to probably go on for a little bit.
Zach, should we hear the story now or just wait till after the show?
Put it like this. I think from a listening perspective, knowing there's a story at the end, it'll make our viewers more likely to get to the end of the show, and it will make me more likely want to finish the end of the show. So from both perspectives, I say we tell it at the end.
Cool. Sounds good. I can hang on to it.
All right. So, guys, the NHL season is finally over, and congratulations to the Tampa Bay Lightning for finally winning a Stanley Cup, and which has been long overdue for that organization based off the talent that they've had, especially last year when they should have won and got ousted in the first round embarrassingly. I think the way the bubble worked out was the best thing that the NHL has done in probably 20 plus years, because this went off without a hitch. And it just seemed like it flowed all the way. And next thing you know, it's over and the Lightning are hoisting the cup. What'd you guys think?
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think the NHL by far, and I've said this so many times on this show, stunned us, myself, the world, with how they handled the bubble and the pandemic. And I think at the end of the day, it was like zero tests out of 33,000 some odd that they did, which is absolutely incredible.
Better power play percentage than the Penguins.
That's 'tis true.
Jeff's coming in with heat now.
but in terms of the Tampa Bay Lightning, I mean, you know, congrats, but it's about damn time. You've had that team for a long time. You know, somehow they sign all these guys to team-friendly deals, like Kevin Shattenkirk to prove himself. He ended up being fantastic. Victor Hedman had a hell of a year. So honestly, like, yay for the Lightning, but it was about damn time they did it. So, I mean, at least there'll be a new team that we can say is loaded with talent that just can't win. So looking forward to that.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, Zach. The way I looked at this was the Lightning winning the Cup was a very, very good thing for the league, because if a team like Dallas or like the Islanders win, then it gets into like a trap defensive, like big man style game, and just nobody wants that. But on the other hand, like you said, it's about freaking time. Yeah, 2015, you lost in the Cup final. Okay, lost to Chicago. Everybody did pretty much in the 2010 decade. 2016, you lost to the Penguins in seven. You blew a 3-2 lead in the series. 2017 was a disaster again too. 2018, we know what happened there. 2019, they get swept out by the Columbus Blue Jackets that nobody thought was going to happen. And then this year they won the Cup. So again, it's about damn time. Everybody's been calling this for the last, you know, 5 years that this team was going to win the Cup, and they always fell short till this year. So it's cool. It is what it is. The one thing I will say is I don't have the sympathy for Steven Stamkos that it seems like everybody else has, that he finally got his cup. Him and Joe Thornton still have the same amount of cups in my mind, because he scored one goal in the final, great, but you played 2 minutes and 18 seconds or whatever his last time was in the game you played. So, me personally, Steven Stamkos isn't a Stanley Cup champion in my book.
It was cooler to watch Alexander Ovechkin win the cup than Steven Stamkos.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, I still don't like Ovi, but I respect what he's done.
Yeah, I don't like Derek Jeter, but I respect what he's done.
Right. No, I get you.
All right.
Has Steven Stamkos been hurt more games than he's been healthy in his career? Like, I literally almost feel it's like when they announced that Steven Stamkos is playing a hockey game, I almost forget that he plays hockey. Like, and I feel like I shouldn't think that way, but I can't remember the last time I remember Steven Stamkos being healthy. It always seems like it was one injury after another plaguing him, and then, like, you know, they're like, oh, Steven Stamkos, you know, won't play again for the rest of the season. I was like, wait a minute, he came back? Like, you know, obviously I knew about the goal, but, like, you know, it's just, I'm so used to seeing Steven Stamkos not in the lineup, so it was crazy.
Do you think he matches Bo Bennett's man game loss?
It's honestly damn close.
Per capita.
Yeah.
I mean, just thinking on it, like, I would say it would be within 20 games through the whole decade that he's missed compared to Bo Bennett's, 5 years in the league? I'd say they're close.
All right. Well, so I'm looking on here, including the playoffs, Steven Stamkos has played 874 games. Now, the hard part about this is I'm trying to find a way to see how many games he has missed with injury on Hockey Reference, and I don't know how to pull that up.
Yeah, so, I don't know if you'll be able to find that, Dave.
Yeah, like if there's a way to maybe find out since he got drafted and seeing how many games the Tampa Bay Lightning have played since then, that could maybe be it.
Right.
But we can try to find that and pull it up for another time.
I will say, though, not to cut you off, Dave, but the one thing I will say about the Lightning winning the Cup, I do feel good for John Cooper. I am a big fan of his on how he handles his team. He comes off as very much a player's coach, but you can tell that those players really care about playing for him and really want to play for him. So for him, I'm very happy that he has at least gotten his cup, because it seems like he's a well-liked guy, and he really worked his way to get to the NHL. You know, he wasn't kind of just gifted a job in the NHL. He really had to work to get to the top of the mountain. So, good for John Cooper at least to get his name on the cup.
I'm glad you feel that way, because I legit think he's a serial murderer, and I was pretty disappointed that he's a Stanley Cup champion. I've never known someone in such tense moments, like, or losing or blowing such a big series lead, to be like, come on, guys, we need to freaking step it up. This is atrocious. Like, you know, I'm used to the Bruce Boudreau F-bombs left and right. So, like, something makes me think that one day John Cooper's just going to explode. That's why I have trust issues with him.
I appreciate this conspiracy theory. I'm actually digging what you're getting into there, Zach.
Maybe that'll be a future show. We'll just develop conspiracy theories on all 30, 31, soon to be 32 coaches in the NHL.
I'm down.
That'll be for another episode, I can tell you that.
for sure.
Okay. Anything else to add to the Bubble City or the Tampa Bay Lightning or possible future serial killers?
I'm good.
Maybe on the killer's axe, but not today.
Okay. All right. So while I'm still going to try to figure out how many games the Tampa Bay Lightning have played, let's move on over to some good news. Guys, the Pens are buying out Jack Johnson's contract. I mean,
thank Christ.
Oh, damn.
No, thank Jim Rutherford, right?
To be honest with you guys, I don't even know if I'm happy for the on-ice product that he's got getting bought out, or the fact that I don't have to hear everybody go, they need to get rid of Jack Johnson. They need to get rid of Jack Johnson. Okay, genius. Everybody in the effing city knows that we need to get rid of Jack Johnson. They're just not going to do it till today. So, like, the fact that we can get away from that is a blessing in itself.
So, have you guys seen
real quick, I didn't mean to cut you off, Dave, but I want to disagree with you. I think, yeah, everyone in the city knew that we needed to get rid of Jack Johnson, but I think no one thought that the most important man in the Penguins upper brass was going to do it. That's why I think today was such a rejoicing. I literally feel like I went to church. Like, I feel so good about myself and the team. The on-ice product is going to be significantly better. I'm stunned. I honestly expected them to either eat his money in the press box, or the worst part is I thought he'd still play. So this, to me, was like the utmost root of their problems. I mean, don't get me wrong, there's still some glaring issues with that team, but this was step one, and I'm surprised Jim Rutherford actually did it.
So going back to our conspiracy thing, though, I had a conspiracy that Mario actually was pulling a heel move and said, I won't eat the money, like pull a Bob Nutting move. I ain't paying a guy to not play here. I ain't doing it.
I could buy into that.
I like that conspiracy a lot, and I want to dig into it. But you know, Mario doesn't even go on Mark Madden show, let alone our stupid ass podcast.
Have we asked?
I mean, I have a tough time with rejection, so.
What, it would just end up in email or Twitter purgatory. Hey, would you like to come on our show? And then we just don't hear anything back. So in reality, it's not rejection. It's just not acceptance. How do you feel about that?
I do like that. And I feel like if we didn't get an answer on within, I'd say 3 days, I would immediately send a DM back saying, well, you didn't say no. So we could come on the podcast and be like, We reached out to Mario Lemieux and to see if he'd come on the podcast. He didn't say no, but he also didn't say yes. So we're still up in the air with it. Still up in the air. He's mulling it over.
We want you to tell us no. So yes.
Right. Either way, it's a win-win for our podcast. We're a small, tiny podcast out of Pittsburgh, and the best sports figure in town told us no, or told us yes. Either way, we talked to him.
I'm cool with that, honestly. It gives us recognition.
Exactly.
I agree.
But, so, have you guys seen the cap hit that the Pens are going to take in now with the buying out?
$1.16 till 2026 or something like that.
So, it changes each year, and I just had it, but off the top of my head, the next 2 years, so the upcoming season and the season after that, is $1.6 million. The season after that is $1.9 million. And the three seasons after that are
$937,000. Gee, I mean, we've seen worse buyouts in the league.
Yeah.
Ask Lou Lamoriello how he feels about paying Rick DiPietro until 2035.
I was going to say, I it's a lot of money to just pay someone to not play for your team. But I think Jack Johnson faves the on-ice production and product so bad that it's almost worth it. And obviously, if you hang on to him, you're paying 3.25 mil. I think that's what his AAV was. So, I mean, this the Penguins had to do this. So,
yeah, I think that's what it comes down to, is the fact that they actually did it, which a lot of people thought they wouldn't. There's a lot of people that thought, you know, the Penguins have no problem paying a coach to not coach here anymore. But it's quite another when it's a player, and it's just glaringly out there. And because for some reason, you never know what coaches make when they coach for the Penguins. But when you have that out there and it's on the cap, it still gives everybody an uproar. So the fact that they actually did it, shows that, okay, they have finally had enough.
I absolutely had enough.
Upset. Sorry, I'm just closing in, and my numbers seem off, so I'm just going to finish with that. There's no way he's only missed 80 games in his career. It seems like there has to have been more.
Who, Steve Stamkos? Steve Stamkos or Bo Bennett?
Steve Stamkos.
Oh, okay.
Oh, God, no. He's in, like, the 300s.
Exactly. That's why my math is off, and I'm tired of this, and I'm done with it, and I'm over with it.
Tried to tell you, Dave. Ooh, nice play there, my friend.
But does this mean going forward with any Jim Rutherford contract, are they just going to give it out to any Jamoke that's been in any contact with Sidney Crosby throughout his life and just hand him millions of dollars?
I don't know. I think this was like the one that's like, all right, Jack, here you go. 3-6, we'll buy out. You still get it. There you go, Sid. Thanks for three cups. I think that's all it was. And now we can move on and go from there.
I think that one of the things I do think, and another conspiracy theory, it seems to be the theme of the show. I think Sidney Crosby has a lot of say in the Penguins lineup. And, you know, when you win three cups, like, why shouldn't you? And when you're the face of the league and the franchise, I mean, why shouldn't you? That said, I did think they did Jack a favor. And I want to stress this real quick, that while the Penguins had to do this, it doesn't undo the fact that they signed him. Like, this was undoing. Now you're paying that money for someone that doesn't play for you. So, like we discussed, they had to do it. But at the same time, I almost feel like had Rutherford, not that Twitter masses and angry fans know what they're talking about 99.9% of the time, but a lot of the analytic people out there and a lot of people that, you know, have followed closely, you know, were against the signing from day one, but Rutherford pushed it through. So I just want to reiterate that while the Penguins did the right move in buying him out, if they wouldn't have signed him, they wouldn't have been in this predicament to begin with. So I think it was ill-advised. Whether that was a favor to Sid or something, I'm not entirely sure, but that's how I feel.
I think we're done with Jack Johnson now. Is there anything else that we want to go over with the NHL since the Lightning have won the Cup before we get into the draft and free agency? Like, are there any other little tidbits that we'd like to get into and maybe put some more conspiracy theories out there?
Two more things on Penguins signings and not signings. Don't overlook that they passed on Dominic Simone too. I think that was another one from either management or ownership that either went to Rutherford and Sullivan and said, all right, Dominic Simone can't score. Get him the hell out of here. Enough. And then the second one, Tristan Jarry, again, his 3-year, 3.5 mil, I believe, was the contract he got. Basically, you're putting the writing on the wall that Matt Murray is on his way out.
Love both of those moves, honestly. I think that Dominic Simone gets way too much credit than he ever should because he has good fancy stats and drives possession, which, shut up. And the Penguins kept the right goalie. And just to add any conspiracy theories, Dave, that you had originally talked about, I will be hosting a going away Jack Johnson party. He will not be invited. But I wanted to.
Why not? Hold on. Why not? I'm confused. It's how a going away party. You hold it for him, you have a good time, and just tell him to get the hell out of there after you're done.
He'd probably turn over my party invite, so it's better to just not even invite him. Actually, his parents would probably steal the invite.
So, yeah, first he brushes me off the plate. Then he just sets me up. I'm on the outside part of the plate. He throws this huge bender that breaks into the other batter's box, and I look like a fool swinging for it.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
I had to do the joke. I had to. But, I think I'm good on Jack Johnson. I've got all my anger up.
You got anything for Dominic Simone? I mean, we bitched about him a lot on this podcast.
All I know is that Sidney Crosby is going to be very sad next year without Dominic Simone, who they'll preach to you will be a third or fourth line valuable bottom six. And maybe that's fine. To be fair, we really haven't seen him in that role in a while because he always, it's like Homeward Bound. He always makes his way to the top line. Like, he always finds his way back. So it's almost like they're taking this out of Crosby's hands or, you know, Sullivan's hands to make that lineup decision. So, you know what? Honestly, good. Like, I think there's several other players out there that can do what Dominic Simone does that can be had just as cheap, if not maybe a little bit more. But I also think you get more value than Corsi and Fenwick out of it, which, sign me up.
So that there's no reason Kasperi Kapanen doesn't play with Sidney Crosby now, right?
The deal was to do, is to just take all the wingers that Sid would want, like Hornquist and Simone, and just be like, okay, now you don't have them. So, here you go.
I mean, I just keep thinking of this, like, what absurd free agent are they going to sign come Friday that's going to be way too much for way too long. And it's going to be like, well, he might be able to play with Sid if something goes wrong with Kapanen. It's like, no, Jason Zucker is the guy that plays with Sid if something goes wrong with Kapanen.
Well, I think that segues well into our next segment with the draft and free agency, the draft being tomorrow into Wednesday and free agency beginning Friday.
I think so. That's what we call, like you said, it's what we call a nice segue in the business.
How are you? Oh, you know what? I may have found the perfect person that I think the Penguins would be dumb enough to bring in just because they liked the old version of him. Are you ready? Or should we tease this and
take a break? What conference? Hold on. What conference are they coming from?
The East.
Okay. I mean, Jaromír Jágr is one of my guesses there, but...
I want Jágr back.
Yeah, I think the whole city wants him back. That's a good point.
Can I reveal? Because I think this is perfect. Yes. And it's gonna, okay. I could see the Penguins trying to sign Wayne Simmonds and like
Christ.
Horn, like getting rid of Hornquist to bring in Wayne Simmonds, but doing it for like 3 to 4 years.
People might revolt, I think.
No, because there's people that do like Wayne Simmonds or did like Wayne Simmonds when
I think they like the old version of him, but
right. That's what I'm scared of. Wayne Simmonds.
Yeah.
What do you think about that with the locker room situation, though? Because remember, he Ryan Dumoulin. Not to say guys hold a grudge, but that happened in a Penguin Flyer game on national television, yada, 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 whatever. Like, you don't think that would ruffle a bunch of feathers in that room?
I'm not going to... Here's my stance. In the grand scheme of things, it's a business. Yeah, you have your personal allegiances and you have your friendships. Maybe you fight on the ice or disagree once at practice and, like, check them in the head or, you know, do something stupid. But, like, that should be that. Once you're on the same team, I think that comes to an end. Kind of like in Miracle where they fought at, like, the first practice. Like, that's what I envision if there is any ill will towards each other. But in the end of the day, you're a team and you're lucky enough to get paid to play hockey. So I don't think that they carry it with them throughout the season.
Yeah, that's also Penn's Flyers, too. Like, that's what, like, kind of makes this whole thing interesting. I know what you're saying. I'm trying to keep myself from saying, yeah, you know what, Wayne Simmonds would be a great idea.
Oh, it's not a great idea. I'm definitely stressing that, but I understand what you're saying.
It's another conspiracy theory. That's all it is.
I do have a thought on their defense situation now, looking for a third pair right-handed shot. And it would totally undo the Rutherford buyout of Jack Johnson. And you guys will probably guess it, but tell me it doesn't sound like a peak Jim Rutherford signing. I believe that they will get either Chris Tanev on what they would probably think is a bargain, or they would get, and I dread this one, Cody Ceci.
The Cody Ceci one I don't know about, just because the only reason everybody thinks he sucks is because everybody in Toronto thinks he sucks, which they have bad opinion of players up there, i.e. Phil Kessel. So, that one, I mean, I'm not saying Cody Ceci is going to win the Norris next year, but I'm iffy on how bad is Cody Ceci really.
I don't know. I guess I look at it like the fact that he made $4.5 million to play hockey is a lot for me. Now, if you sign him more on a Jack Johnson deal, I believe he has age in his favor and just isn't a total pylon. And I hear what you're saying about Toronto media and, you know, everyone up in Toronto, but it does make me – I'd be more inclined to sign CeCe, I think, over Tanev and or even, you know, mirroring the thought that we'd have to send Jack Johnson back out there, but thank God we don't have to.
You mentioned Chris Tanev and based off NHL rumors. I've been reading a lot of this in the past 30 minutes because of everything that's about to just unfold with the NHL. And per, I'm going to ruin the last name, Rick Dahlwal, Dahlwal. So God bless me. On both Tanev and Tyler Toffoli, which is a different name that you didn't mention, He was quoted saying, hearing new teams are in on Chris Tanev almost daily. So we'll see if the Penguins are one of those teams moving forward. It's going to be weird, and it's going to be exciting to also kind of rate kind of how the Pens work their business over the weekend. But I don't know. It's almost like a new era is upon the Pens with a certain couple of names that are leaving the building, isn't it?
I wouldn't say a new era. I mean, Jack Johnson was never like a pillar of the organization. You're like,
right, oh, but I'm boy. Just saying like, some names that are just being escorted out of the building. It's almost like a relief, isn't it?
Kind of a little bit, but again, like Zach said, I mean, and I don't want to say that me defending Cody Ceci was me saying let's go get Cody Ceci because I don't want him, because we got enough issues on the back end as it is of trying to kind of clean the cupboard a little bit. But yeah, I mean, I kind of get what you're saying, but they just didn't qualify some guys. I mean, I guess with Matt Murray on his way out, I guess I could see the era thing, but I don't know. I just don't know what to be prepared for. Like, you got Kasperi Kapanen, the top six is pretty much set. Your back end's pretty much set too. I mean, the only thing I think this team really needs at this point is a right-handed shot defenseman and a backup goaltender, and that's it. Like, if they make any moves up front, I guess a third line center, which apparently I heard that possibly Kyle Turris might hit the market come Friday, which I would take a flyer on him if it's cheap enough.
Yeah,
I think I would too.
I would mind having Kyle Turris.
Third line center? Well, I mean, why not? You've been trying to find that since Nick Bonino left.
I think a lot of the things, to go off of what Dave said, I think this is the first year we really saw a retooling with the Penguins regime. Like, yeah, they overhauled some players last year, but it wasn't anything to this magnitude. Like, Hornquist leaving was a vital part. I think, I'll continue to say it, moving Jack Johnson, just getting him off the team, I think players can say they like him in the dressing room, and I'm not going to act like I've been there, but I just feel like that they struggled so much when he was out there that I almost feel like you free yourself of that burden. And I'd love for them to give, you know, I don't care if there's another left-handed shot on the point. I would really like to see Ruedel or Ricola get a look there. But that said, I feel like a lot of retooling's been done. I loved the Kapanen trade has grown on me. Like I said, I wasn't all about the first, but I think there's legit potential so long as Kapanen stays in the top six. And with Rutherford taking away all of Sidney Crosby's pals and former line mates, I think there's a very good chance of that. So I'm a little optimistic. That said, you talk about stuff being stale, like in the cupboard. I think that's what it was pretty much. The team had gotten stale. The message, we'll see if it got stale, but you know, they took all the assistant coaches away from Mike Sullivan by either firing them or choosing not to renew them. So I mean, literally the ball's in the Penguins' court now for, you know, turning this around. I think that. And I hate to give Rutherford so much credit because I feel like he makes half the deals to undo other bad deals. Like, it's a business, but I feel like he's missed more than he's hit lately. But, yeah, I'd like to see them. I think they have about 4.7 mil to play with once Friday hits, assuming that they can lock up. I think they have to lock up two RFAs, but I'd love to get Kyle Turris. But I think one more depth winger, depth center, one that can kind of float around and play both. I mean, that would be nice, but I don't think it's necessarily a 100% need. Realistically, I don't see why Casey DeSmith can't back up Tristan Jarry. I mean, they signed him to that deal. I mean, a veteran backup cheap would be great, but we saw that with Antti Niemi and it was awful. So I'd rather just toss Casey DeSmith there.
The only reason I don't like Casey DeSmith is the backup is because what happens if Jarry blows up, and then Casey DeSmith is your full time starter? Are you comfortable with that? Because I'm not. Because all Casey DeSmith is Johan Hedberg all over again.
So I mean, I guess I get it, but like, who are you advocating, or do you have a list? Because the only ones off the top of my head I can really think of are. What's it? Holtby, which way out of their price range.
No.
Quist, which no. And I think Craig Anderson's also on the market. But like,
you want King Henry?
He ain't coming here. There,
he has PTSD from what the Penguins did to him in 2016.
Would you throw here's an example, journeyman goaltender? You know, we saw what he did in the playoffs. Would you throw a flyer out on Khudobin, see what he's looking for money wise?
I'd certainly be intrigued by Khudobin. I honestly, he has to be close to a number one goalie at some way, shape, or form. Like, you know, he's always seemed like a fringe goalie, but has always, even when he was in Boston, got like a ton of starts every year. And obviously what he did with Dallas was incredible. Yeah, I'd take a flyer on him, but I think, you know, for what the Penguins have to work with, I think he's going to, you know, the backup would almost be making more than the starter, I would think, Khudobin, money-wise. I mean, I think he
could. I would agree with that. I think it'd be appreciative to have a guy like Khudobin back up Tristan Jarry, but that's not happening.
I don't know if he'd get paid for it, though. I don't know if he did enough in what one weird ass playoff year that he like if I'm a GM, I'm not paying him 5.5.
I don't care he's going to get 5.5, but I could at least see him getting more than Jari's 3.5.
Oh, I don't know. I bet if you could get him for like one more year or something, you could probably get him under that 3.5.
I have a take. Oh. I bet Fleury comes home. I don't think they move that contract. They probably end up biting the bullet and buying him out. And I think that the Penguins, so long as Fleury's willing to come back on a very cheap, team-friendly deal, which I'm not going to act like I know the guy, but it seems to line up.
I just don't want that to happen.
I don't.
Tristan Jarry doesn't deserve it.
Will happen either.
You said it will happen or won't happen.
I don't think it will happen. I think there's going to be other teams that will at least think about putting him in that number one spot. I mean, the Rangers are going to go with Igor.
And Gagoriev at this point as well.
Yeah, Gagoriev's solid.
Who are the Capitals moving with?
They have that Samsonov kid or whatever.
Okay, yeah. His first name's not Igor. It's like Ivan, isn't it?
It's Ilya. He's got Ilya, the same name as I have.
Yeah. I names are crazy. I can't think of any other teams off the top of my head that need a number one goalie addressed.
Well, right, Minnesota now just traded Devin Dubnyk today. Break that news. How are you, insider?
Insider.
Congratulations, Jeff.
So I cheated a little bit, and I looked up free agent goalies, and right now you have Lundqvist and Holtby, the two that we mentioned. Corey Crawford, who probably got hurt as I've said this, Jimmy Howard, Jimmy Howard, Craig Anderson, Jacob Markstrom, Grice, Thomas Grice would be somewhat solid.
I don't know if he'd come back.
Yeah, I agree. Remember when he said the arena was quiet? Cam Talbot, Khudobin, Michael Condon, he was a minor league goalie here for 6 days.
How cheap could the Penguins get Cam Talbot for?
Jeez, I've got to imagine he wouldn't command much. It's not like he's been good. Not that I'm about to pull up his stats or anything like that, but I've never been like, oh my God, Cam Talbot.
All right, continue.
What do you think of Jimmy Howard come to Pittsburgh?
See, that was one name that's intriguing because, like, he's not terrible. And but I always thought that him playing in Detroit, they kind of left him to die. I wouldn't hate it, but obviously the deal would have to be team-friendly and almost be like an accepted role. Like, look, bud, you're not starting. But
yeah, I think that's where he's at in his career, though, too, right?
Yeah, I actually, to go off your point, I read something, I think it was on Howard, that said, like, you know, a lot of people, like, were asking about if he'd retire or whatnot, and then he's like, I'm going to play until I can. I believe that was him because, he's kind of getting up there. I don't think he's super old, but at the same time, like, you know, after you're moving on from the Detroit Red Wings, who, you know, where do you go? Like, I definitely think that the backup goalie needs to make less than the starting goalie, even if Tristan Jarry's on a team-friendly deal and a nice little bridge contract, kind of like a prove-it deal. I still don't think you want to have more. I would say more than $3 million on your bench.
I get what you mean there, yeah.
It's like, hey, Jeff, you do all this work for us with your company, but we're going to pay this guy a little bit more just in case you can't be around every once in a while he does other stuff that you can easily do yourself.
Trying to sign the contract so early.
Be honest.
Good thing you said Jeff and not me. I'd be pissed.
No, because you're the only one that does your job, as far as I'm concerned.
How are you? I'm over here flexing right now.
Anything else to bring up with the NHL? It's going to be wild, isn't it?
Yeah, because, teams aren't going to be just handing out a ton of money for no reason, right?
The only other question I want to pose is, it is now Monday at 6:16 p.m. The draft begins tomorrow at, I think, 6 p.m. Do the Penguins trade Matt Murray's rights before the draft?
I'm going to say no. I think this is going to... That's going to end up going down after some dominoes fall in free agency. I think I've pretty much bought into it.
I'm going to disagree just for the fact that I want to disagree with Jeff. It'll happen tomorrow at 4:17 p.m.
We even got a time on that. Woo! Okay, and that said, to both of you, I'll pose the question. Do you think they can actually get a return for Matt Murray? The only reason I think they move him is because they want to pick higher than 77th in the draft. And I'm not saying they're getting a first, nor should they. It's Matt Murray. He's not good anymore. But, you know, I at least think that they'd like to move up to the second round in some capacity, especially in what's been deemed as a relatively deep draft.
Where's Minnesota picking?
Seventh?
I was going to say they have...
Seventh or eighth, and they have Pittsburgh's pick as well, right? Or no, Toronto does, sorry.
And Minnesota, so in the second round, they're still picking around like seventh or eighth then, correct?
They should be, yeah.
So, could you see Billy Guerin trying to get Matt Murray to come to Minnesota and fix him?
Well, here's the thing, though, is that at the deadline, when they made the Zucker deal, that Billy Guerin was looking at Tristan Jarry, not Matt Murray. So I don't know if
we'll look into Matt Murray now.
I don't know if that interest is there, though. And at this point, too, with the Matt Murray thing, I'm wondering if when the Penguins are trying to trade Matt Murray, they're also trying to get Jack Johnson going in that deal, too. So I wonder how that's going to affect it where that, okay, you're just getting Matt Murray, who also they qualified an offer on him. So you absolutely own his rights. And if he decides to sign somewhere else, you're getting compensated for it, too.
I think that the reason that they ended up buying out Jack Johnson was because, well, one of the reasons, there are several for sure. I think that they were dangling them in a trade package, obviously, and they just couldn't find takers. And I almost think to get Jack Johnson off your books, you would have almost had to sacrifice getting little to no return for Matt Murray. And granted, he's been less than average the last 2.5 years. So, you know, I don't think you're getting into the first round. Hell, you might not even get a second rounder. But having him with Jack Johnson in the same deal, to me, was definitely bringing the value of the Penguins doing anything Matt Murray-related down in a package deal. So I almost think it's better they did it this way. It'll just be interesting to see if they can move up in the draft, which it's got to be based on team needs. I still think a team like Colorado would be a decent suitor for him. You know,
Colorado, I feel like, is going to be a team that's going to spend.
Yeah, they are on so many team-friendly entry-level contract deals. And Nathan,
but they're coming down the pike, though. That's the balancing act they have to figure out, though.
I think
one year deals.
Well, I was going to say maybe not. So my thought from Murray is I don't think anyone's going to do anything drastic in terms of term, like 5 or 6. I think Murray's also going to get one of those 3 year, maybe $18 million, $6 million a year. Either way, I think he's going to get a bridge deal of three, maybe 4 years, just to kind of see where he's at, because I definitely think that Matt Murray can still go either way in his NHL career, whether he flames out and completely sucks or he finds his form again. It's definitely a change of scenery, and he definitely won't be back here. But, his contract situation is going to be interesting.
Yeah, and if there was a free agent market, too, that would favor a team like Colorado that's got, you know, money they're going to have to spend down the line, the fact that the market's probably not going to be a lot of term, players aren't going to want to take a lot of term, So, I mean, they could do like a 3-year deal, which would go to the end of McKinnon's deal before he gets paid big time. And, you know, that could help them out too. So, I don't know. The market's going to be absurd on Friday, and who knows how it's going to go.
All right. I think we've covered a lot there when it comes to what's going to happen. So, do I regret asking the question? Any final words?
I think you do.
Yeah, I think you do too, but that remains to be seen.
All right, sounds good. Let's move on, shall we? I think that pretty much does it for hockey. Guys, if you're a baseball team that plays in a central division, you're not having a good time. That's for damn sure. Every team, 70% of the teams that play in the central divisions in baseball got eliminated. 100% of them got eliminated because the ones that qualified. But if you include the Pirates, LOL, the Tigers in Kansas City, 70% of them got eliminated in the playoffs. How hilarious is that?
Yeah, it wasn't even close with the central teams either. At least on the NL side. I mean, one team didn't score at all. Another team only scored, what, one run or three runs?
Well, the Cubs? I thought it was one, but I might be wrong.
Let me take a look here. 2-0. Yeah, they lost. They only scored one run in theirs. The Cardinals got shut out in their game 3. The Brewers got shut out. Like, the Central stinks. It is what it is.
What was it? The Cubs didn't run away with that division at all. It was pretty much came down to the last series. And while the AL Central went down to, I believe, the last day, it was at least competitive and actually had some reasonably good teams competing for it, where you didn't really expect all those teams to be there right away at the end. There should have been one team to run away with it in the Central, but hey, when you're all getting wins from the Pirates, it makes it that much more tough.
That's what you get for feeding off bad teams.
Let's go series to series real quick, and let's just start with your boys, Jeff. They shut out the Cincinnati Reds, and, you know, I could imagine you were biting your fingernails down to about your first joint during that first game with how Trevor Bauer was dominating the game at first, but I don't know. How many runners did the Reds leave on base that game to not score a single run?
Yeah, I mean, it just seemed like it was just the Max Fried show and the Trevor Bauer show, because Trevor Bauer would go out, he'd strike out 2 or 3 in an inning. Max Fried came out and did the same thing. But honestly, once we got to the bullpen, I felt pretty comfortable. I mean, we obviously ran into some traffic on the base paths where we got into a little bit of trouble. But, I mean, the Reds kind of ran themselves out of a win in game 1. And, I mean, thank God they did. But, you know, we've talked about all the time that the Braves bullpen's probably their biggest strength next year. And they had to win game 1 because I couldn't see a scenario where the Braves would win 2 straight against a combination of Castillo and Sonny Gray. I just couldn't see the offense putting 2 good performances back to back like that. So definitely nerve wracking. I'll tell you that much, especially the way that we went out last year. Just that's still in the back of your mind of getting those long innings, or, you know, you can't get a strike, you know, one bad pitch ends up changing a whole count and all that garbage. So, you know, we got out of it. Now we play the Marlins, which we should do all right in. I feel pretty confident with it, but I'll probably not have fingers by the end of that series.
Did you take a selfie like Marcelo Zuna did after the Braves won that series?
Dude, they have so much fun with that. It's like the mix it up thing. Love it. It's hilarious. And then the selfie thing, like when he hit that home run and he stopped halfway up the line and took a selfie with the dugout, I just thought to myself, like, if he did that against the Braves, I would want him to be thrown at the head right away. Right away. But the fact that he played for the Braves is like so funny.
Zach, do you think that selfie gets added into MLB The Show 21 on a make a player?
They absolutely need to do something like that, because that was brilliant. I got the chance to see it When does the series end? Because to be honest with you, I haven't been paying the most attention.
It ended
Thursday.
I probably saw it around Saturday, and I was like, damn, that's really good. I mean,
I don't know which one I like better. If it was Ozuna going up the line and doing like the selfie, or that they had Adam Duvall go all the way around, goes like down the line in the dugout, and then like gets to the end, and then he's like looking back, making sure like everybody's in the spot, and then takes it.
That was quality content for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, so let's do some rapid fire here, because I just want to get quick opinions, quick hitters on the next couple series. Jeff, as much as I might have been wrong about Cincinnati, you were just as wrong about the Chicago Cubs. And my boys in Miami are now going to get crushed by your boys in Atlanta. But, hey, the Miami Marlins showing that, you know, they can still beat the Cubs in Wrigley, even 17 years later. And I think it's awesome.
Yeah, and they didn't even need a guy in glasses to reach over the wall and take a pitch or take a foul ball out of the way.
Zach, do you enjoy the amount of trolling it is by the Marlins to be making the playoffs in this type of format, only to beat the Cubs in back-to-back games in Wrigley yet again?
Yeah, I love it. As as someone who hasn't followed as closely, it was kind of like, the Marlins made it, and then it's like, okay, they beat the Cubs, now it's onward to Atlanta. And it's been one of those things where I'm rooting for them. It's one of those, and it's also going to make baseball purists so mad with how they did the playoffs and the format and whatnot, because in a regular year, Miami would have no chance in hell to make it. So therefore, I'm rooting for them all the way. Sorry, Jeff.
Watch yourself, Zach.
Based off the standings, they were pretty damn close with if they would have done a regular format. But they would have, yeah.
I mean, based off, since the Cardinals didn't play one game, technically
two games, which I think is BS. I think the Cardinals should have had to have played their final two games against the Tigers. So let's move on over to that one. And LOL, Slam Diego coming through after losing the first game. And it was just bomb after bomb after bomb on, I believe, Friday was the game between the Padres and Cardinals.
Game three?
No, game two, which would have been Thursday, where they were down a couple runs and then, you know, Fernando Tatis Jr., Manny Machado, I think Will Myers, all of them were just hitting dingers.
Yeah, I mean, the way that the Cardinals knocked us out last year with a 10-run first inning, everybody laugh at Jeff. Huh? The fact that San Diego, or Slam Diego, is as they are nicknamed now, the fact that the way that they were doing it against the Cardinals just brought a smile to my face. And the fact that the nice thing with the Padres is somebody new, right? It's not LA doing it. It's not the Yankees doing it. It's not the Red Sox doing it. It's a new team that, you know, they've been building for so long, and they're finally starting to see the young talent come together and be a quality team again. So I think they would be the team I'd root for, you know, knock on wood, that the Braves would get eliminated.
It's weird that a team that has signed Eric Hosmer, which wasn't the biggest deal ever, but then Manny Machado, and has the term building in there at the same time. I know what you mean, but it's just kind of funny with free agents who were added like that.
I mean, they also made a bunch of deals back in the day too, to, you know, try and like speed up their rebuild, and they didn't work, but it didn't derail their rebuild either.
I understand. I just wanted to point that out. I thought it was funny. Zach, moving on. Did you know that the LA Dodgers are good?
Yeah, I had a feeling. They're good until the World Series starts. But, I mean, yeah, they're still a wagon of a baseball team when it comes to getting to the World Series.
Well, they dominated the 500 Brewers, or I think they were below 500. I think they finished the season like 29-31. Clayton Kershaw looked really good in game two. I believe he went 8 innings and struck out 13. Slowly getting rid of the playoff demons. And now the Dodgers are set with a matchup against Slam Diego. And I think LA's just right now in their groove when it comes to October baseball until the World Series, like Zach said. But I think LA's looking really good, and it's going to be hard for the Padres to pass over them.
So this is a dumb question. What is the next round of series in terms of games?
Five games, and they are all played in bubble cities. You know about the bubble cities, right, Zach?
Yeah. I'm aware of the bubble cities. Just didn't know what the series game length. Oh, this will be a good series, honestly. I mean, that's definitely a hot take for sure. But like, I don't know. Both these clubs, like Slam Diego, just seems like every at bat's a home run, and the Dodgers are obviously, it's not the World Series yet, so they're still being good. So like, it's definitely going to be an intriguing matchup that I don't see going any less than five.
I like Slam Diego a lot, though, just because I feel like they're in the Dodgers' head. The Dodgers think they're the class of the NL, and they definitely are. But you got this team that just comes in and hits dingers. And they not only hit these dingers, but they show it off and they pimp them. You know, they're walking down the line, bat flips here and there. And earlier in the year, the Dodgers are getting a little upset about it. So I like the Padres here. I like them a lot. Is Clevinger in? Did he make this the DS roster, Dave?
I haven't heard yet. I know they don't start until tomorrow, so we'll have to kind of look into that and see if he has made the roster yet. But I like how you just said they aren't the class of the NL, but they are.
No, I said they think they're the class of the NL, and they probably are.
Okay, so, I mean, tomato, tomato. MLB playoffs, Padres, Mike Clevinger may be available for NLDS versus the Dodgers. That was one day ago. So, and then 8 hours ago, CBS Sports saying he's expected back for a divisional round. So I imagine a game three start for Mike Clevinger, which isn't the worst spot for him.
Yeah, I'll take Slam Diego in five.
I got LA in five. I think it has to go the distance. And then on the other end, I'll give the Braves four because I think Miami can squeak one out against them.
Yeah, I think so. That young kid that they have in their rotation is
Sixto.
Yeah, Sixto.
Whatever his name, actually. I was
going to
say it.
Sixto Sanchez.
Yeah, I bet he gives us a run, but after that, I mean, I'm not really intimidated by anybody else in that rotation. It's just a matter of if our starters can do what they need to do. And the fact that we're coming back with Fried and Anderson 1-2, it gives me a little bit more of a calming thought on the series. So I think it's going to be four as well.
Zach, what do you got for both of them?
Oh, okay. Let's see. I'll do Padres in five.
Love it.
I have Atlanta, and yeah, I'll do Atlanta in four. I think Miami wins one, but
I was waiting for you to say like Miami in three.
He's not that big of a he's not that big of a troll.
I'm a pretty big troll, but I also try to be a realist when possible. So this is one of those real moments where I have to realize that in reality the Marlins suck. So. Compared to the Braves.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, everybody sucks compared to the Braves.
Debatable.
The Dodgers, who think they're the class of the NL.
Yeah, and they probably are.
All right, guys. AL time. Tampa Bay Rays against Toronto. It seemed like Toronto might have been able to surprise people in game two, but a big old grand slam in that game kind of shut up the Blue Jays' efforts, and Tampa Bay moves on. No surprises there, right?
No, I don't think so.
Nope.
All right, well, I like that analysis. Let's move on to the next series, which was probably a little more fun, at least for Jeff, not for me. The Yankees dominating in game one and then winning a marathon game. I believe it's been on record that was the game two was the longest game, nine-inning game in MLB history at 4 hours and 53 minutes, and that's excluding the rain delays and everything else.
Jeez, oh, man. Why are Yankee games so long?
Couldn't tell you. When people just step off and mound visits and everything else, I don't know. It always seems to drag on, especially the Yankees and Red Sox together.
Oh, those are the worst. Those are so bad. Did you guys...
Hey, your boy Shane Bieber, who will win the Cy Young, got rocked. What do you think about that?
Nah, it's whatever. He's going to win the Cy Young, so it don't matter.
Are you surprised that he gave up that many runs in that few of innings?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I mean, that's a good lineup, but the thing with the Yankees, I feel like they're hit or miss. They're either gonna whack you or they're gonna strike out a ton. And that day they whacked them pretty good.
Zach, you got anything?
F the Yankees.
Fair. I love that.
Hey, analysis. did you guys watch any of that game two at all?
Bits and pieces.
Did you see the bud that got arrested for sneaking into a Progressive Field to try and watch a game?
No.
So they did, like, I don't know, A-Rod was talking about something and probably saying about how great his career was. And they do, like, the fan cut scene or whatever, where they zoomed in on a guy that was, like, banging a drum right outside the gates. And then, sure enough, like, they look in and you see two buds and two cops walking around the concourse, and the two buds have their hands behind their back, and Vasgersian goes, like, what did we just check into there? And it, like, ended up going, like, right to commercial or whatever, but it was, like, I guess they tried to sneak into Progressive Field and watch the game live. They said, to hell with COVID and all that stuff. So, I mean, good on them, but,
I mean, good on them. Assume this was talked about. Did you guys see the guy that walked into Miller Park and tried to be, like, on the grounds crew and just drive the car?
Yeah, I mean, he's done everything that any fan watching a rain delayed game wanted to do.
I was inspired by that, so I just wanted to ask if you guys.
Yeah, I did see that.
I can't wait to see Zach doing that at PNC Park next year.
Crowd will look the same, so nothing to worry about.
Oh,
hey, it doesn't matter. You'll still be on TV. You can wave to the camera. Hi, Mom.
And there's the painted changeup on the outside corner that Dave didn't even bother to swing at.
Oh, I just walked back to the dugout right when he threw it.
Yep, pretty much.
Yeah, three strikes, I am out. All right, next series, boys. The Minnesota Twins can't win a playoff game.
No, I think that's a proven fact now.
18 straight games that the Minnesota Twins have lost. I just thought it was a Yankee thing, and I think Jeff and I agreed that it was a Yankee thing. Turns out it's just the playoffs.
Yeah, they're bad when games matter. Like, really bad.
I agree.
Zach, were you aware of this losing streak with the Twins in the playoffs?
Yeah, I actually was. I forget where and how I had heard that, but it was like going into the playoffs, Minnesota looks to snap some unreal unbeaten streak with unreal losing streak, and clearly that didn't happen. So, like I said, it'll extend to next year.
So, yeah, the Houston Astros get to move on and, you know, even finishing with I believe they were below 500. I'll have to double check that. They are still moving on, and they will be taking on the guys who won that division, who are the Oakland A's, who looked like they were going to be in trouble after Lucas Giolito went six perfect innings against them and then finally gave up a hit. And I think the White Sox shut out the A's the first game. But then the A's showed resiliency and came back the next two and won that. So we have a matchup with the A's and Astros. But, Jeff, I mean, we both said the White Sox moving on. I know Matt Chapman isn't the entire team, but it takes a lot out of the lineup without him.
Yeah, it's I like the White Sox. I like where they're headed, but it seemed like maybe, you know, after Giolito, the pitching kind of just falls off a little bit. So, you know, the one thing I will say about the A's, and I think it kind of gets overlooked, is how good Billy Bean is at what he does. And what I mean by that is he brought in this whole Moneyball thing and how they evaluate talent and everything. They're competitive every single year. That they just find a way to be competing for the division title or competing for a playoff spot every year, and they spend minimal amount of money. So, I mean, good on them for advancing. I don't know if they're going to beat the Astros. I mean, they're currently losing 7-5 as we talk right now. Correa just hit a bomb to dead center, and now it's 8-5. Probably
is that got a trash can?
Probably a buzzer, I think. I have it on mute right now because we're recording, but I guarantee there's probably a buzzer or something. But the Oakland A's just, you have to appreciate what they do, right? The way that they can get the scouts and evaluate the talent to, you know, not spend what teams like, even like what the Braves spend. I mean, the Braves don't necessarily spend a ton of money or break the bank, but like they're nowhere even close to where the Braves are at.
I'd say if the A's can get past this first round, then the respect will finally start coming in because they've been unable to get past the wild card game, let alone make a playoff run during this Billy Bean era. They've had a couple wins here or there, but they haven't really had a chance to lock down a pennant. So if they can get past Houston, I can start giving a little bit more respect out there. Like, you can be competitive all you want, but if you can't do anything in the playoffs, then what is it?
I mean, Billy Bean is also on record in saying that the playoffs are a crapshoot too. So, I mean, eventually.
All right, so Minnesota's just unlucky?
Yeah, I mean, they stink. They stink when it becomes into October, but the way he manages his team is to give them the opportunity to be in the playoffs. And after that, I mean, analytics don't help you out in the playoffs. It's just what it is. It's a crapshoot, and just see how the chips on the table fall. And what's the old saying in baseball, that water finds its level over 162 games? I guess that's what it is for the whole year, regardless if it's 60 or 162. So, I don't know. I just, the fact that they do so much with so little money is just, it's just incredible.
I agree.
Oakland, did you say Oakland or Houston to win the series?
I got Houston in 4.
Zach?
I'm going to go Oakland in 4, to be honest. I want to believe.
I'll be a believer, too. I got Oakland in... I'll get Oakland in 5. I think they lose this game, but they'll find a way to be resilient, like I mentioned earlier. Mm. On the other end, we got Tampa Bay versus New York. This is the matchup that will probably determine who goes to the World Series on the AL. I think so. Zach, lead it off for us.
Well, naturally, I hate the Yankees, so I'm going to pick against them. I don't. They're an absolute wagon of a baseball team, and they should make the World Series with that talent every year. But that said, the Rays are pretty solid, so I am going to go Tampa in 5.
Jeffy boy?
I'll take Yankees in 5. I'll say it goes 5 as well. The Yankees lineup is just so hit or miss. I don't know. Like, I just don't know if the pitching matchups too. I mean, I think Garrett Cole wins game 1. Does Tanaka win game 2? I don't know. And then after that, it's a crapshoot. You have Tyler Glasnow that will probably be pitching game 2 or 3. I don't know. I think it goes the distance, but I think the Yankees come on top.
I'd have to probably agree with Zach, just because I think overall, while yes, the Yankees can be world beater some days, you don't know what that starting pitcher is going to do, maybe aside from Garrett Cole. Well, James Paxton, he's been hurt, hasn't he? That's why he won't be on the mound. And Luis Severino, are both of them are out, correct?
I think so, yeah.
I knew at least Paxton was out.
So, I mean, you have two names that should be able to get them through the next round no problem, but I think without them against the Tampa Bay Rays, it's going to be a little more difficult in what will be a longer series than the previous one. So give me the Rays in 5. And that'll do it for baseball. I mean, at least I think so. Is there anything else for you guys to bring in?
I got nothing else.
I could to keep up with this, so I'm good.
I mean, I'm okay to have story time with Jeff before we wrap it up.
Yeah. We ready for story time?
I think so.
Yeah.
All right. Well, everybody gather around. Uncle Jeff's got a nice little story to tell. So my 14 and under hockey team that I coached went out to Philadelphia for a hockey tournament this weekend. And if you've been following the news going on with COVID restrictions and youth sports and everything, everybody's obviously in and up in arms about it because parents aren't able to go in and watch their kids play sports. It's a valid argument. I totally get it. And we were told that on the way out that there was going to be no restrictions. Parents could come in, and game one, they were able to watch the kids play and everything. Well, the governor of this fine commonwealth decided to appeal the ruling that is not allowed, that the rinks still have to follow the restrictions, and parents were not allowed in. Okay, no problem. We had a couple parents basically throw the challenge flag and say, like, let's just see what they do. So we're warming up, and sure enough, there's about, I don't know, 6 to 10 parents in the stands, and they go, hey, you got to get out. They go, okay, no problem. And sure enough, we're sitting there. We're getting ready to drop the puck. Lineups are out. They're lined up at center ice, and there's two more parents that made their way into the stands. And referee comes over and says, we're not starting a game until those parents leave. And the guys I coach with, we're all volunteers, and we're like, what do you want us to do about it? Like, if they have to leave, go get the rink management. I mean, what are we going to do? Go tell somebody's parent that they leave? That's not our job. We're here to coach. So I guess when they got this one father out, it became a big, big scene, and there might have been some profanity, some middle fingers thrown out there and stuff. So we get to about the second period of our game, and the way the benches were set up, like the locker rooms, you walked like right out onto the bench. And sure enough, our offensive coach looks to his left, and there's two state police officers that were, you know, standing right there trying to talk to him, to the point where he got off the bench to talk to these guys. And I guess they wanted the name of the parent that made this big commotion and everything. And we're like, we don't know who it is, because he had a hoodie on, he had his mask on. Like, it's not like he was, like, very, like, you could recognize who it was. So then, like, they keep, like, barraging him, right? Barrage?
Barraging?
Barraging, yeah.
Yeah, like, barraging.
Okay. And they keep asking him, like, who is it? We know you know who it is. You're withholding information from us. And he's like, no, I'm not. Like, we don't know who it is. And then the other defensive coach that works with me, he goes down and starts talking to him. And so now we have two coaches over there while play is going on. Like the game is still going on, and we have two coaches talking to state police officers. And then our head coach goes over to find out. So now we started the period with four guys on the bench, and now we're down to just me kind of juggling between the forwards and the D, trying to keep keeping the kids focused, because, like, imagine being a 14-year-old kid and you see your hockey coach talking to a state police officer during your game. Like, that kind of messes with your head, right? So we get a power play with probably about 3.5 minutes left in the second period. That's how long this was lasting. It was lasting forever. And so we're moving the puck around. They're still talking to the police. And then, sure enough, there was 46 seconds left on our power play, and the rink manager, the tournament director, and the police officers go over to the door to get onto the ice, and they pull the referees off, and they tell us they're not going to drop the puck again until we give the name of the parent that caused all this ruckus and everything. And we pretty much are like, again, we don't know what you want us to do. Like, we don't know who it is. So I guess the rink manager comes over. He goes over to the scorer's table, which is now near me. And he's explaining the whole situation, I guess, to the scorer. And our backup goaltender is right in front of me, like, on the defensive door. Like, Zach, I'm sure you've seen, like a high school hockey game or whatever, where, like, the backup goalie kind of opens and closes the door for the defenseman.
Yeah.
So this guy is trying to get me to now say, like, who it is. And he says the one dad who is pretty calm with it, he said his last name, which is our backup goalie's dad. And like, when I heard that, I'm trying to like shoo him away. Like, hey, go with your teammates. So he's not hearing like anything about his dad or anything. So the rink manager walks away and my backup goaltender looks at me and he goes, "Coach, is my dad going to jail?" And I go, "What the hell? Like, I didn't sign up for this. Like, what do you, like, I'm like, I didn't say that, but I was like, no, I think he's all right. It sounds like he's okay." And like, I don't know, like, when a 14-year-old kid asks you that, when you're supposed to be telling him, like, hey, play your angle, you know, just stop the puck, like, it kind of messes with you. And, like, eventually, like, our other defensive coach ends up going with the police to go try and find this guy or whatever. And, you know, sure enough, we got it all figured out and everything. But it was, like, I've never seen that in my 25 years of playing or coaching hockey where, you know, you just have these two cops trying to get information and coaches are leaving the bench to go talk to these guys. It was just the most absurd thing I've ever seen in all my years of playing or coaching hockey.
So my initial takeaway on this is I just envision the COVID version of Randy Marsh being kicked out of a Little League game. America. I'm sorry. Is this America? Like, I just literally envision that, but obviously what you just mentioned, and I can't get that out of my head, but that is absolutely crazy. It's unreal, and I don't want to put blame on any one parent that they can't come together for the sake of their kids. I mean, no offense. There's rules implemented. Are they BS? Sure. Do you have to abide by them? Yes. I mean, if you want to fight them, write your local legislators. But to do that and cause a scene at your kids, let alone a professional game, is just bizarre to me, honestly.
Right. That was kind of the consensus we came to. And I mean, if you went to the parking lot, I don't even think you wanted to be in the rink. You wanted to be in the parking lot. Like, there were teams where, like, their parents got, like, tents set up and tailgating, and they have this thing where it's called Live Barn, where they have cameras in the rink, and you can stream the game from that's in the rink on, like, a laptop or whatever. So they got, like, a laptop, an HDMI, and a TV, and they, like, tailgate and watch the game like it was, like, the Steelers or something. It was awesome. I was like, I didn't even want to coach. I wanted to be out there.
Why wouldn't you want to do that as a parent?
Right, exactly. Like, that seems like where the fun's at, not in a cold rink freezing your ass off.
You're like, hey, Bill, grab the lucky streak. The boys are coming on.
Right, yeah. But, yeah, so, like I said, it was, like, such a crazy, bizarre thing. Like, we ended up losing the game, like, 6-2, and we gave up, like, 3 goals in 3 consecutive shifts. And I looked down at, like, the other 3 coaches, and, like, we couldn't even get, like, mad. Like, that's how, like, melted our brains were over this whole situation that happened.
That's crazy, man. That is...
It was parents on your team, not the other team.
Correct? Yeah, it was... Yeah, it was our team, yeah.
Okay. Was the name ever figured out?
Yeah, it was. I don't want to release names.
Oh, no, I don't
like
want
that,
to know
but,
the name.
But, yeah, we ended up having a meeting with him, like, after or whatever, and said, like, hey, like, you have to take care of this, because he had to, like, call the cops, and they basically told him he couldn't come back to the rink or anything like that, but it was just a complete mess.
Yeah.
Wow, that sounds exhausting.
Yeah, yeah, you're telling me. I contemplated whether I was going to coach ever again after it.
And then you got, was that the last game of the?
No, we had another one like at 5:30 that night. This all happened at like 11 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, jeez.
So
I wouldn't even want to deal with that when I'm prime awake at like, you know, 4 or 5 p.m., like, let alone that.
Right.
God bless you.
Yeah.
Yeah. God bless you. Honestly.
But yeah, so let's finish this off with some MVPs and have some fun with this.
All right. Well, my MVP is Jeff for that wonderful story, for just being able to go through that. And I mean, you basically were a head coach for a couple seconds there.
Yeah. Scary.
Were you, what was the plus minus during all the coaches leaving?
Well, when the one guy was gone, I mean, we were losing at 1.51. So, you know, not good. But when it was just me, I don't think we gave up any goals or anything. So that was kind of a nice thing. So right, better so, win yeah, percentage than Dan Bosma.
I mean, I want to get Dan Bosma with the same team as you and see who gets a better record.
I bet I could outcoach Dan Bosma.
Oh, shit.
Another conspiracy theory. All right. Zach, Jeff, I don't know who wants to go.
So I'll do it to piggyback off yours because I didn't really have one coming into the show. My MVP is Jeff with how he handled it. Not so much. Like how that situation came about, the story itself. I mean, that was great. Is how Jeff handled the story and how you performed as a coach during your time. And obviously, the flip side of that is the LVPs would be the parents involved. So,
yeah. Well, when I should say it's just the one parent that would get the LVP. I mean, our parents are great. I do want to stress that, but. Yeah, the one parent definitely gets an L on that.
You should
one.
Confront that parent and tell him that he was now an LVP of our podcast. And right. That's honestly, that might be a life sentence. He'll probably change his act real quick.
Right. That oh man. On a show that Mario Lemieux would never come on, I got the LVP of the week. It's I gotta straighten out.
I like how Zach just assumed it was a he too during that judgment. So
right, yeah.
Yeah,
right.
I wanna apologize to all of our female listeners, all probably one of them. And my mom, thank you. I didn't mean to assume gender in 2020. So
yeah,
whoever your parent may be.
Send your hate tweets at ZachMorris_82.
No underscore.
No underscore. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I want can't... the real love. Come get me.
So I got an MVP. I got an MVP. So I talked to, I believe, Zach. I talked to you about Aldi's a couple weeks ago, right?
Correct.
Like how like. It's like a hit or miss. It's almost like gambling on like getting groceries.
Yeah, that's the comparison you used.
Yeah. So I found my big hit though. Found my big hit. So if a lot of people that know me well, I love pop, soda, cola, whatever the hell you want to call it. And obviously, like my taste buds for some reason are weird. I don't taste the difference between Coke and Pepsi or any cola really. I'll drink whatever. So I found this pop at Aldi's, which I mean, it's got to be like the soda equivalent of Lucky Streak. Like this is how cheap this stuff is. It's called Summit Cola. Have you ever heard of this?
Nope,
I have not.
So they sell it at Aldi's. 12 pack is $2.93.
Huh.
Jesus.
You don't say.
And like. Coca-Cola wow. Right next to it's like for like almost $5. So I'm like, well, this is elementary. We'll give this a shot. This stuff's not bad. It ain't bad stuff. And I mean, like I said, I can't taste the difference between Coke and Pepsi. So what's the difference between Summit Coke and Pepsi? So my MVP of the week is the always good and always cheap Summit Cola. It's the official soda of this apartment on in Pittsburgh. So. That's my MVP of the week.
Well, I think that I might be a soda snob then because I can't take the difference. I can't taste the difference between Pepsi, Coke, and Dr. Pepper. We had a little taste test on Easter, and I was able to point out the three pretty easily.
Well, so, Dr. Pepper's got 23
Dr. Pepper,
flavors.
You can swat a mile away.
Yeah.
Can oh, yeah, but I still got Pepsi and flavors? Coke in there, too.
That's like a catcher. It's like a catcher saying, hey, got a curveball that's going to get hung here. You better not get out of the park.
Yeah, if you're mixing in the flavor. If you swig that back Pepsi and Coke first and have Dr. Pepper.
You can still tell. Come on, Dave. You're better than that.
You can't do between Pepsi and Coke.
No, I can't taste the difference between
Pepsi and Coke. I think those two are miles apart from each other.
No, sorry.
Zach?
It's close. I can taste the difference. I just always know that one of them is not the other one. I think I know Coke. Like, I know the two taste different, so I'm not about to play that game, but I think I can definitely point out that Coke is the one I like and prefer.
Out of the two, well, I would say Coke I could probably try and figure out, but I'd probably get it wrong.
Coke won the bracketeering back in the day, Jeff. Do you remember that?
It did, yeah.
All right, we're rambling. This has been Icy Takes with Zach, Jeff, and Big Dave. We had a jam-packed show here, so it's time to wrap it up. It is midnight, so let's get to it. You've been listening to Icy Takes. You can like us on Facebook at Icy Takes with Zach, Jeff, and Big Dave. Follow us on Twitter at Icy Takes, I-C-E-Y Takes, all together, one word, because that's the way we like to spell it. Follow us on the Twitters at Big underscore Dave 52.
At Zach Morris 82.
At J Christ underscore 51.
Like our Lord and Savior, amen. Hopefully this show didn't go too far off the rails, but if it did, I hope you're bringing us back up onto the rails. On doing it. We'll be back next week, but until then, stay icy, people. Celebrate and have a good-